The message on this Christmas Eve is entitled, Where There Can Be No Darkness. The scripture reading for this evening comes from the Gospel of John, John's Christmas story. It is in John chapter 1, the first five verses. The emphasis in the message comes from the last two verses, verse 4 and verse 5. And so I call you to give your attention to the reading of God's holy word on this Christmas evening. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him was not one thing that came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let us pray as we come to the message this evening. O Lord and our God, as we wait just now to light our candles on this Christmas Eve in celebration of the Savior of the world, we pray for those who do not feel loved this evening, and for those who struggle to love others just now. O Holy One, be the light in our darkness this Christmas, that we might reflect your light into the dark corners of the world. And we pray this prayer in the strong name of Jesus, the soon newborn King. Amen. We are finally here together on Christmas Eve. And what a busy season this has been that we did not experience last year. You know, last year we did not gather on Christmas Eve in this particular church, and that happened in many others. The parts of the service were recorded individually. And so I stood here last Christmas Eve awkwardly all by myself, preaching to that camera. I am so glad we're together again on this Christmas. But I suppose now we will all experience what we have already, and that is the frantic rush into Christmas. I have felt that this year again, and I bet many of you have. Indeed, I once heard about a woman who just before Christmas went rushing out to the store because it suddenly dawned on her, which was part of her tradition, this thing of sending out Christmas cards. She did it every year, but she had forgotten after the pandemic. And she bought the first box of cards that she saw in the store. There were 50 cards in the box that she purchased. They were perfect. They were bright red with a green border, and right in the middle of the card were the words, Merry Christmas. At the bottom of the card was a place for her to sign on the cover her name, and she did so. She signed them hurriedly, addressed them, and it turned out she used 49 of the 50 cards, and she quickly put them in the mail. A couple of days later, on Christmas Eve, as she was cleaning her house, she came across the one card that was still left in the box. She picked it up and thought to herself, I wonder what was on the message inside of the card that I sent. I sent it in such a hurry, I never looked. She opened it, and this is what it said. This card is just to say a little gift is on its way. She collapsed in her chair, realizing that 49 of her closest friends were now looking for a gift that would never come. Which is to say to you this evening that if you look closely at the Christmas story, as John writes it to us, you will be filled with surprise, and you will find many contradictions. The night of his birth took place in God's fullness of time. That's a loaded phrase, God's fullness of time. In God's fullness of time, the begotten, the Son of God, came among us. But it was also the worst of times. There was so much pain in the world. However, into that darkness, into that pain, would come the light of Christ. That's what John's telling us here. And because our lives and the lives of those in our world are often filled with startling contradictions, maybe, just maybe this evening, one of the reasons that the Christmas story from John's gospel speaks to us is because it is so powerfully written. As I worked on this sermon over the course of this season, I realized I was surrounded in contradiction, like all of us are in this busy season, this holy season, surrounded by all the glory and the glitter and the lights at night, which are beautiful. And yet also we hear in the news about terror and destruction and fear, especially I noted a few weeks ago the destruction caused by the lives of so many people by that outbreak of tornadoes, which caused devastation as it ripped through six states in our country. One little town, you may have heard of it, Mayfield, Kentucky. It was all but wiped off the map, but it is now bustling with people trying to help, trying to establish order out of chaos, with people there tonight holding candles up in the air, burning to celebrate Christmas and the light of Christ amidst the darkness they have experienced. You see the contradiction. I processed the news of that tornado outbreak as I was observing other things happening in the life of this church, things that had not happened in the past year. There were dozens of volunteers and church staff working extraordinarily hard. They were very, very diligent to make this a glorious Christmas experience for all of us. And we had a few weeks ago a joyous ring, sing, and mingle event. I hope you'll come next year. It's a wonderful time, and there are lots of Christmas cookies that I enjoyed. And then last Sunday, we had the glorious Christmas cantata. Thank you. I also had the pleasure of knowing that and observing many of you bringing gifts, wishes that were left on the angel tree in the narthex, and you brought back gifts for migrant workers. I enjoyed watching that experience and also watching our youth working with Metropolitan Ministries just this week to help others. I also had the pleasure to be with dozens of small children at our Kids Corner preschool as they were squealing in delight as Santa visited them on the playground this year. I also enjoyed the recent Christmas program that was held here in the sanctuary just last Friday. It was amidst the news of political bickering that I was hearing on the radio, crime in cities, another tragedy, and there were those children with the orchestrated swinging of the arms saying, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." It was a delight. Contradiction. All of us are overjoyed to be together this year on Christmas Eve, but we are also already not painfully aware that the last 20 months since the pandemic began, they have been the most difficult times, perhaps, in our entire lives. And we know, even this evening, that there are many family circles that will not be complete, that will not yet be whole. And so we pray for them. Life, death, joy, sorrow, darkness, light, they are all wound up together in an evening like this, one contradictory night in the moments that we're together. It's much like the story, the first story of Christmas. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a darkness over the whole earth. Poverty, disease, injustice, they were everywhere. The Roman legions, they were crushing underfoot one group of people after another. Oppression. It was in the darkness of all that that Jesus was born at night. The shepherds heard the angels sing on one beautiful night. The wise man followed the star announcing his birth amid the darkness of a long journey by night. Even Herod concocted an evil plan of the killing of many innocent children, trying to snuff out the long prophesied child who would be born, who would be king. And Herod did that under the hiddenness, the cover of night. And maybe that's what John, the disciple, is trying to write for us here, his own version of the Christmas story, with these particular words in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Like that first Christmas, we know, we know there is darkness in this world. There is, in the daily news, we hear about every day the disregard for human life. What a year it has been for our world. What a year it has been for us. And so you see, as we move through this season of joy, even into Epiphany, it is always under the shadow of darkness. And I suppose that's maybe why this Christmas looks better to me this year than ever before, because I have noted that when it is dark, you can see the light better and brighter than you ever have before. You know, there are many stories that are recorded in the Word of God that tell us about Jesus. After they record his birth, he grows up and he encounters many people. Recall the one religious people. There are many stories I could tell, but the one religious leader, Nicodemus, a religious leader who came to Jesus to ask the question, how can I be born from above? In other words, how can I be born again? And he does so. He comes to ask that question under the cover of night. And all the people I could mention to you, they were all changed by that encounter of him. And it still happens today through God's Holy Spirit. People are transformed and changed, sometimes over many years, sometimes like that. Perhaps some will be changed even this evening by the soft glow of candlelight as we allow him to come into our lives anew. Perhaps you will be open to having your life transformed, like in the story that took place in the Second World War. Of all places, the Battle of the Bulge. A young American soldier was wounded, and he was captured by the Germans, and he had several painful wounds, one of them being the loss of one of his eyes. And he was taken to a German field hospital. It was just a tent. It had very crude conditions. The floor in that tent was simply trampled earth with puddles of water laced with blood. And to make matters worse, there was a wounded German soldier on the cot right next to that wounded American. And every few minutes, the German soldier would roll over and try to kick him in anger. And then something happened in that tent. A group of Belgian carolers, it happened to be Christmas Eve, they were going around from tent to tent, and they were singing carols. And they walked into that tent singing Silent Night, Holy Night. And suddenly the darkness inside that tent was transformed into light. That young German soldier's face became peaceful. Even a gentle smile was formed upon his lips. And then something dramatic happened. The German soldier reached out and actually took the hand of the American wounded soldier, and the two of them began to sing together, each in their own native language, the words of that carol. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And once again, in that story, you see the Spirit of God at work in that miracle. Jesus, the light of life, was shining in the darkness of that place. Jesus, the morning star, is now still shining through the people of Christ and through his church. Make no mistake about that. Through the centuries, there have been many of those who have taken it upon themselves the task of trying to extinguish the light. In biblical times, we read of Herod, of Caiaphas, the high priest, of Pilate, the governor, many others, and all of them have failed to extinguish that light. The light of Christ, it simply cannot be stopped. People can ignore it, they can belittle it, they can ridicule it. I don't care what they do to it, because we now know even a pandemic cannot eradicate it. The light of Jesus Christ is still shining in the darkness. I want to close this evening with a wonderful little children's story. It is about how one day the sun up in the sky looked down on the earth and saw that the animals were agitated and troubled and frightened. The sun came down and knelt among the animals and said to them, "What's wrong?" The animals replied, "One of our animal friends went down into that cave, and it was dark, and he became terribly frightened." The sun said in response, "What's dark? What does dark mean?" And the animal said, "If you stick your head in that cave, you'll know what dark means." And so the son leaned into the cave. He put his head into that dark cave. And when the son leaned into the cave, it was not dark any longer. And that is because wherever the light shines, there can be no darkness. And that's the message of John's gospel in the first five verses of chapter 1. Wherever the light of Christ shines, there can be no darkness. Amen.